Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Every single day, our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and that music can only mean one thing. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us now. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We are now less than a month away from the NFL draft, and it is mock draft season a palooza. But I will ask you, I think it's kind of consensus, 1-2, however you want to justify it, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, or Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. I think that's kind of the popular thought across the football world. How would you rank the remaining three? Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, that's a great question because, Caroline, it seems like everybody's just beating up, you know, the 1-2 discussion. And look, I get it. You know, it's kind of like you talk about first place, you don't talk about like the other spots in the race. But as we know, like we just look around at draft every year, just, you know, the guy that gets picked first doesn't mean that he necessarily ends up having the best career. So here's how I feel about it. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, what your need is and when you would expect that quarterback to play. And so, like, to me, Anthony Richardson, I would rank him last if I was a team that wanted somebody to play within the first year. Like, Anthony Richardson's got 13 career starts. He has unbelievable physical ability, but he's played very little football. And I just think it's hard to be good at playing the toughest position in sports at the highest level when you don't have a lot of reps under your belt doing it. And that is the case with Richardson. So I would rank him last out of the three. You know, and I would probably put Levis as the first guy in that group. Not to say he's a perfect prospect, but he's got nearly 40 starts. He has all the physical tools. He has a lot of characteristics that your team would rally around in terms of toughness and competitiveness and all of that. So, you know, this past season wasn't great, but the season prior was outstanding. And then, you know, you get to Hendon Hooker, who I would, you know, prefer over Richardson. And quite honestly, there are things I like about Hendon, you know, more than things I like about, you know, Levis. You know, there just is a bit of a, you know, some of the pause and some of the things you have to kind of figure out is, all right, there's clear improvement, you know, from Virginia Tech to Tennessee. You know, how much of that was just supporting cast related? How much of that was coaching staff and offensive related? And how much of that was true development by Hendon as a passer? So, I think once you kind of navigate through those things, you know, I would end up kind of ranking them Levis, Hooker, and then Anthony Richardson.
And that's a question that I've asked myself so many times about Hendon Hooker. Was the magic of Tennessee's season this past year, was it Josh Heupel's offense? Was it Hendon Hooker just needing an opportunity and needing time to fit into that offense? Or is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, and listen, maybe I can shed a tiny bit of light onto that, having called some Virginia Tech games with Hendon Hooker as a starting quarterback. And the reality of the situation there at Virginia Tech was he was kind of always fighting for his job. Like, it was never really clear that it was, like, it was just going to be his. There was a kid, I forget his name, I think it was Quincy Patterson was his name. He was in there getting reps at times. Braxton Burmeister, I think at one point, had transferred in. And, you know, I think we were told, like, he deserved snaps. And, you know, it was interesting because there were points where Hendon would play really good football for Virginia Tech. And, you know, whether it was injury or otherwise, it never really felt like he had a home there, like that it was his team or territory. And that all changed when he got to Tennessee. And so, listen, Caroline, some of it might just be you feel like you're the guy, and that kind of enables you to kind of assert yourself as a leader and have confidence in how you're playing.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, beside the four quarterbacks and possibly five if you throw in Hendon Hooker, so you got Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and Hendon Hooker, is there another quarterback that you would put up there within the first two rounds, whether it's Max Duggan, the kid out of UCLA, I can't remember his name, dual threat quarterback. But there are other quarterbacks that are out there beside the top four or five. Is there one that could potentially, you know, slip into possibly late first round or in the second round?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a guy who's not going to go in the first round, but I think he's going to go way higher than anybody is anticipating. And his name is Stetson Bennett.
I talked about Stetson Bennett before on these airwaves. And as much as we look at his age and everything else, he had a really good combine. And the kid is just a winner. And he's an overachiever. And why wouldn't you want a guy like that on your team?
Like people are becoming less and less enamored with less and less enamored with with physical traits that are measured and all of that. And like you mentioned Max Duggan. Like, look, he was a really good, competitive, scrappy player. But like, do we really care that he's 6'2" instead of 5'10"? Like, does that matter that much? Like, I don't know that it matters that much. I think Stetson Bennett, let me be clear on this, because you know, D-Mace, you asked about like, hey, first round, maybe early second or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we're talking that, but like, if you were to look at projections on Stetson Bennett, I think what you would get is people say, like, look, he's rounds 5 through 7, maybe a free agent. But you know what? Because of the program, because how he played, like, yeah, fifth round or something like that. I just think it could be it would happen sooner than that. I think that there's just – and then again, like, look, I said it earlier talking about Levis and Richardson. He's played a lot of football, and he's played a lot of football in big games. And – that matters. Look, I think there's a reason Brock Purdy was having success. Like, he's learned how to play the position. He had like 45 college starts. Like, there are very few things in life that you can just like not do and then go out and be good at doing. And I think it's universally accepted that playing quarterback in the NFL is about as hard of a thing to do in professional sports as you can find. Like, I don't know how you get good at it by not doing it. It's one of my issues with, like, Trey Lance. Everyone thinks, like, Trey Lance is going to be the guy. I looked it up the other day. Like, since graduating high school, Brock Purdy, has, like, started, like, 75 football games, and Trey Lance has started, like 7. Like, I'm making those numbers up. They're not exact. But, like, it's something like that. That's a problem, I think, if you want to try to improve at something.
Now, is there a, in regards to the draft, do you believe there will be, within that first top 5 or 6 picks, do you think there will be a surprise trade that may, either push one of these quarterbacks up further or push them down a little bit?
I think the trades would push quarterbacks up.
Okay.
Because I look at, let's just say we kind of all agree that Carolina and Houston want to go quarterbacks, and Arizona's not drafting a quarterback. But you get to Indianapolis, like, they need a quarterback, so they probably are drafting one. Now, maybe they don't, but I would think that they do. The Seattle Seahawks, look, maybe they, it's all fake, but Seattle could draft a quarterback. I don't think that Detroit will, but it's possible. The Raiders, I get it. They just signed Jimmy Garoppolo, but Garoppolo's always hurt, and he's whatever he is, about 32 years old, and he's always hurt. So they could draft one. So I just think that, you know, you kind of get in and then we get to Atlanta. Like, so I just think that if you're a team that feels like you would draft a quarterback in the top 10, you feel strongly about Levis or Richardson, you feel strongly about one of those guys, I just feel like you may move to make sure that you can go get them. Because I just would have a feeling that Indy, Seattle, Raiders, like those teams would have interest in quarterbacks.
More from Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now. Tim, I feel like it's every single week we've got to keep you updated on the Lamar Jackson situation, but since he took to Twitter yesterday, said he requested a trade on March 2nd. I mean, this crazy and wild Lamar Jackson versus Baltimore Ravens sweepstake just got even more bizarre. Do you think that it's a legitimate possibility that the Ravens would trade Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think what's interesting about it is, like, he didn't need to request a trade because he essentially was available, you know, in a way which would amount to a trade, which is sign a contract with a new team. The Ravens don't want to match it. They essentially are trading him for two first-round picks, right? Like, that's how the non-exclusive franchise tag works. So the fact that, like, he was requesting a trade, like, I almost feel like it made me get the sense that, like, he doesn't even understand, like, the situation that he's in. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. Why would you request a trade? You don't have to request a trade. Like, you are available to everyone. Like, to everyone. So the fact that you're requesting a trade, I almost want to be like, hey, like, it's, I feel like it's one of those ones like, hey, who wants to tell him? Like, who wants to tell him? Like, you don't need to do that.
If someone, like, wants you, they'll take you.
You're available. Yeah. So, look, I said this on TV, I guess it would have been last week, and I, you know, like, it's part of me where it's like, I feel bad saying it because I want, like, I love to see players go, you know, have success and get paid, and I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. Lamar Jackson's a bad businessman. Just like Le'Veon Bell, when he sat out for an entire year, was a bad businessman. It cost him money that he will never, ever get back. And, you know, Lamar Jackson's refusal to hire an agent and be in a situation which I think takes, you know, some skill and some expertise, of which he, you know, doesn't have, it's costing him money. I mean, the reality of it is that, let's just say for, you know, like, let's just say he doesn't play on this franchise tag, which it sounds like it's maybe a possibility. For perspective, once Josh Allen signed his extension, which he could sign the same time that Lamar Jackson was able to sign an extension, Josh Allen will make nearly $70 million more than Lamar Jackson, like, through that three-year period. Like, I'm not making this up. Like he signed an extension the same time that Lamar was eligible to sign an extension.
Right.
Mm. And, by the way, here's what's going to happen. Josh continues to play well. He's going to sign another extension while Lamar, let's just assume Lamar signs, like, a long-term deal, like, either this year or next year. Like Josh is going to become a free agent and get another crack at it while Lamar is still under that next contract. So, like, it's just been bad business, guys. It's just been really bad business, and it has cost him tens of millions of dollars.
And Josh Allen has paid his agent, what, like $2 or $3 million over that span?
Yeah, and guess what? And Derek can tell you, like, here's the thing. If you don't have an agent and you're about to sign a huge contract, the standard fee is 3%. If you are about to sign a huge contract, you could go to nearly any agent that is qualified and done massive deals in the NFL and say, look, I will sign with you and I will either pay you 1% or we'll decide on a flat fee. And nearly every one of those agents will take you as a client, because as soon as you sign a deal that gives you the most guaranteed money in NFL history or second most in NFL history or something like that, they're going to use that deal to recruit every player that they are trying to sign, whether it's a college player or a current NFL player that's looking for a new deal. So, like, this idea that he would have to pay somebody 3%, that's not even accurate. He wouldn't have to.
You know what, Tim? I brought up this same thing yesterday, and I brought up the Le'Veon Bell example. I even brought up the NBA guy example, and I keep forgetting his name, where the Lakers wanted to sign him to a three-year, 80-something million dollars. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to sign that because he wanted more, and he never got close to that contract that was offered to him. And NBA money is guaranteed. He was never able to get a contract that of that magnitude again. Le'Veon Bell missed a season, was never able to recoup that money again. And I told Caroline and Willie yesterday, I'm saying, listen, if we are to believe what Lamar said or has been saying, or that there is a deal, you know, say, I think it was 130, 135, somewhere over 3 years guaranteed. If we are to believe that that deal is on the table, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm going to an agent just like you said, and I'm saying, listen, right now with the Baltimore Ravens, I have 130. Anything over 130 you get me, you get a piece of that. Because I negotiate, because that 130 is there. I can get it or I can't. But if you get me more than, if you get me over that, anything you get over that, then you get the 2, 3, 1%, whatever it is, you are able to get it. And like you said, these agents are going to be willing to take him on as a client because it's a recruiting tool for them. Look at what we got Lamar Jackson. Even though they probably didn't work out the whole contract, they can say, we got Lamar Jackson, $200-something million.
Look, and there's an element, you know, where it's like, look, I get, no one likes paying an agent. Like, I've never met a guy like, man, I love writing that check at the end of the year. Like no one likes paying an agent. Like, I just, I would say, like, I've talked to guys that have been literally, their job with teams have been, they negotiated contracts, okay? So whether they were in the GM role or a salary cap guy, who are now in the media, they hired agents to negotiate for them when they signed deals with ESPN or somebody else. It's just one of those things where it's like, look, you're good at doing this. I'm hiring you to do it. It's kind of like, it's the cost of doing business. Now, look, I actually believe that if Lamar had an agent, I don't think that the Ravens would have had the confidence to put the non-exclusive tag on him. Because I think that an agent, a good one, would have been able to kind of drum up enough uncertainty of, you know what, is there another team out there that we would have to worry about matching the offer? I don't have any doubt that a good agent would have created enough doubt for a team that they would have put the exclusive tag on him. Which, by the way, if he would have ended up playing on that, is $10 million more than the tag that he's currently scheduled to play on. So, I've argued at times, and D-Mace, you probably remember this from your time as working the Players Association. Like, it always kind of bothered me that, like, a guy would sign a restricted rights free agent tender, you know, for $800,000. So that was a contract that was, then those terms were negotiated by the union and agreed upon with the league. And if a player signed it and had an agent, that agent would get 3%, you know, in some cases. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is crazy. Like, why would an agent get 3% of that?
You're getting that contract no matter what.
You're getting that contract no matter what. Look, I was in that spot. Like, I lived that. And so, like that type of stuff bothered me. Look, I'm not some crazy, like, hey, pro agent and like something like that. But here's the deal. Like, at some point, you just have to look at somebody and be like, man, like, You've made a lot of money. You've made $32 million playing football over the last 5 years. You are costing yourself so much money in this window. And, like, I don't know if you realize it. I don't know if you're getting bad advice. I don't know. But, like, that's just what's happening here. And in some cases, I just feel bad for him.
Tim Hasbeck is with us, and I hear you. I think in the same way that so many NFL franchises or GMs were kind of turned off from Aaron Rodgers just because of the baggage that Aaron Rodgers comes with, do you think that there may be a similar sentiment from GMs that they just don't want to get into bed with Lamar Jackson if they know that it's going to come with negotiations with himself, if it's going to come with his business partner picking up the phone and trying to persuade other teams to put an offer on the table for Lamar Jackson? Do you think that some GMs are turned off by the fact that he doesn't have an agent and that all of these negotiations have fallen out how they have?
Yeah, I mean, look, my guess on some of that stuff is, like, if it's just kind of obtuse and not realistic, it's like, I don't know how we keep going from here. And, like, you bring up Aaron Rodgers. Like, listen, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know it's a short-term thing, you know, with him in terms of where he's in his career and stuff like that. But his agent, and David Dunn, who does his football stuff, like David Dunn, has done deals for years in the NFL. And David Dunn represents coaches, players. And so I feel like the idea that, you know, if you're like, hey, if you're the Jets or you were the Raiders or the 49ers, whoever, the last few years, and you're wondering like, hey, can we get Aaron Rodgers? It's like, oh, well, you know what? Like, he's represented by Athletes First and David Dunn, and we have – five guys on our team that we've done contracts with those guys and worked with the agents at Athletes First. And so let's pick up the phone and be like, hey, what do you think it's going to cost? Like, where, like, you get that information, right? So yeah, I think it matters. It's like, look, there's a reason you hire deal makers. Like, it's just, that's why you do it. And that's why they do deals.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, appreciate you for joining us as always. We'll chat with you next week.
See you guys.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Coming up next, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and there is even, if it could even be possible, that it's more interesting than it was. It may have just gotten a little bit more interesting. We'll explain why coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.